Okay, we're getting a beautiful little pump from Bitcoin to finish up October. And you can see it in both in Bitcoin and the altcoins. But I'm going to show you today how the Bitcoin charts may actually be predicting with the highest level of certainty the election winners. So I'm going to show you how the Bitcoin chart may actually be predicting the election results, which are happening in about a week. I'm also going to show you why I am buying ETH. Yeah, I said it. After all the times that I've told you that I'm selling ETH, I may actually give ETH one last chance. I'm going to show you exactly why, but it's not exactly ETH that I'm buying. I'm buying a whole lot of ETH betas, and I'm going to show you why I'm looking at these ETH betas. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. I'm going to show you how the election results are almost accurately being predicted by the charts and why I'm actually buying ETH. Josh, I love that effect that you did there. With that, it's like I felt like I was at a day party, bro. All right, listen, guys, welcome back. I mean, it's nice to see that we're getting a nice little green pump to finish up October. Now, it hasn't been the best October in the whole world. We are still only 8.25% up for October versus a median of 21.68%. But remember that October is not exactly finished yet. We still have three days, depending on where you are in the world, of October. And maybe the charts are telling us that this pump may actually continue. That's what I'm going to show you today. I'm also going to show you how, despite what the polls are saying, and I'll show you what the polls are saying. The polls are saying that right now, Donald Trump is 60.1% lead. I'm actually going to show you how the Bitcoin chart is actually doing a better job of predicting the election outcome for next week. Remember that actually by next Wednesday, is it? By next Wednesday, we should know who the new U.S. presidential elect is and who the next U.S. president elect is going to be. So listen, big show today. What I need you guys to do, as usual, I need you guys to destroy the like button. I'll tell you why we need to destroy the like button. So the time zones have changed. Like the Europeans, this is now 1 hour later for the Europeans. They're wondering where the hell we are. The Americans, it's still the same time zones. The time zones have changed all around the world. So a lot of people are confused about what time the show is. So again, this show is at 9:15 EST. We always follow the 9:20 EST. We always follow the US clock. So what I need you guys to do is I need you guys to smash the like button so you tell the algorithm that I'm here bringing you crypto love and crypto wisdom. And the algorithm basically goes to all the subscribers and says, okay, Ran's live and he's bringing us the crypto love and crypto wisdom. You do that and I will bring you guys amazing, amazing, amazing alpha as usual, the highest alpha per minute show in the universe. That's for sure. So let's look at the good news on the Bitcoin charts. And I say good news, I'm not limiting it to where we are in the charts. So number one, where are we in the charts? Look at the weekly close. The weekly close remained above that 68,000 or that 7 month long downtrend. We're now well up above that. Now, yes, we did get a wick down, which is great. You want to test that breakout, but we closed above the breakout. Now we're the third week in a row above that breakout zone. So you can kind of say that we're pretty much cementing ourselves above the breakout zone, which is amazing. The second reason why I'm so excited about the Bitcoin chart, and I'm not really excited about 68,900, I mean, I am, but not very excited, is when you go down to the daily, and I don't know if you guys remember, I did a show last week showing you guys that we were about to get the Golden Cross, and I predicted that we would get the Golden Cross on Sunday, and we did. We got the Golden Cross between Sunday and Monday. We actually got the Golden Cross. Now, the reason why I'm so excited about this Golden Cross is because historically, every time we've had the Golden Cross, we've had an increase in the price. You'll remember that I did a full show last week where I showed you guys the exact statistics every time we have got the Golden Cross in Bitcoin's history. But generally, every time we get the Golden Cross, we get a steep move up in Bitcoin. And we've just had the Golden Cross. So the charts are kind of saying to us that we're about to get a steep move up in Bitcoin. And this is where I think that we may actually be predicting the election results using the charts, because as I said earlier, we are exactly a week away. We're a week and 1 day away from the US elections, the actual voting day of the US elections. And it looks to me like the charts are giving us a better indication of who the election winner is going to be than the actual polls. If I look at the polls, The polls are pretty much saying that there's a Donald Trump presidency almost imminent. And that would be amazing, amazing, amazing news for Bitcoin. And it's not only the Polymarket's polls, but it's pretty much wherever you look now in the polls, it feels like and it looks like Donald Trump may actually win. But just because the polls are telling you that Donald Trump may actually be the winner of the election doesn't mean that he's actually going to win the election. In fact, I want to show you something about all the previous elections or some of the previous elections. So let's go back to the 2016 election. So this is the 2016 election. Let me just zoom in for people who are watching this on their cell phones. Going into the election, Hillary Clinton was up 45.7 versus Donald Trump's 41.8. That was going into the 2016 elections. And what we know back then is that even though Hillary Clinton had such a wide lead, Donald Trump actually landed up winning the elections. Then the next time that this happened was on the 2020 elections, where in the 2020 elections, the spread was very, 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 very tight. And only at the very, very, very end did Biden come out victorious. So what I'm trying to show you guys is that the winner of the election, as per the betting markets or the probabilities, doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to be the winner of the election. And so anything can happen between now and next week when we actually vote. And remember, we're also not expecting a clean election. We're also expecting there to be some kind of shenanigans. It just seems too easy that there's such a big lead. And I've learned when it comes to the dirty Democrats, you can never write off the fact that something is going to happen, especially because they've imported so many voters that it's like we're in a position now where you don't even know what's going to happen. And so what I'm saying to you guys is, it looks like when you look at the prediction markets that there's no certainty in terms of who's going to win the election. But there is one thing that we do have certainty on. And that one thing that we do have certainty on is something that Brian Armstrong said. He said, this is the first election where the new media has now fully flipped the traditional media when it comes to elections. And here he's talking about long form podcasts, X, social predictions. Now, he says, also holding traditional media accountable happened gradually, 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 and then suddenly. And I think when it comes to the podcast, or let's call it the new media game, I think you'll agree that this is the first election where the first media game has played a much bigger part, or maybe as big a part, than the traditional media, right? When it comes to the new media specifically, what we know for sure is that in the new media, Trump has trumped. He's trumped Kamala Harris when it comes to new media. Now, if the narrative is correct, then the whole thing is that because Kamala Harris is so bad in interviews, she was very, very, very scared of going onto any of the new medians, new media channels. So things like Jake Paul or things like Joe Rogan. And what we see in this Joe Rogan thing, just have a look at this. So let's look at it now beyond 72 hours. This tweet was written 72 hours, but you can see that this Joe Rogan podcast had 33 million views in 48 hours or 72 hours, whatever the number is. I'm not sure exactly what time this was actually dropped. Now, let me tell you something. Before I did Crypto Banter, I used to have a show on CNBC. So I kind of know what CNBC numbers are. And I can tell you that 33 million impressions or 33 million views for any kind of show on CNBC ever is something that is unheard of. Like, it's unheard of. I don't believe that CNBC have ever had 33 million views on any one of their shows. And if I do, I may be wrong, but I'd like to see the actual data that shows it. And so what we're seeing is that the new media is having much more of an impact on the elections than the old traditional media, which has been traditionally, you can say, bought by the left wing, right? So the left wing have generally bought the media. And I don't know if you saw which newspaper was it, the Wall Street Journal, that wanted to endorse Kamala Harris, and then Jeff Bezos stepped in. I think it was the Wall Street Journal that happened over the weekend. So you can kind of see how the tables are shifting. And as I said, when it comes to new media, Trump has absolutely, absolutely destroyed Kamala Harris. You have to admit that he's been more active on more podcasts and more new media than Kamala Harris has been. And so what that is now being reflected in is it's being reflected in the prediction markets. And the prediction markets are all predicting that Donald Trump is actually going to win. In fact, this is probably predicted to be a huge landslide, landslide victory for Trump, specifically in the swing states as well. But that is, for me, not the most convincing part of the predictions. For me, when I look at the charts for me are more predictive than the poly markets. And I want to show you what the charts are showing us about what who's going to be the election winner next week. So when I look at the charts, what I'm seeing is I'm seeing a couple of things that are happening. The first thing that I'm seeing when I look at the charts is I see this. If you look back at election years and you look back at 2012, 2016, 2020, and 2024, what you can see is that in all three cases, the RSI was at about 65. And this is the monthly RSI. And what you can see is that in all three cases, the RSI was on the way up. So we were entering bull market territory for the RSI. And you can see that again in October 2024, with a couple of days to close, the RSI was at exactly 65. So that is what we're seeing when we look at the RSI. So what the RSI is telling you is that we're about to get a Bitcoin pump. The next thing that's telling us that we're about to have a Bitcoin pump is the Golden Cross, which is exactly what we spoke about earlier. I mean, I'm not sure that it is a coincidence that we are looking at a Golden Cross 1 week before the elections. And what we know is that generally, when the Golden Cross happens, the pump begins to happen. And I mean, just look how beautifully this actually aligns here. So you can see the Golden Cross happening here, and you can kind of see the pickup of steam and pickup in momentum in the thing. So you got two indicators which are telling you that the charts are becoming bullish just 7 or 8 days before the election. Then the next thing that you have is you have the Bitcoin dominance chart. And if you look at the Bitcoin dominance chart, what you see in the Bitcoin dominance chart is that there is a spike in Bitcoin dominance. That you see there's an unnatural, quite aggressive spike in actual Bitcoin dominance. Now, what does that mean? Well, if you look at this, this is an interesting chart that Marty Party actually popped out. And he said, look, in 2017 and 2021, if you look at these, you know, and you look just after the halving, what you can see is 224 days after the halving, you start getting a huge drop in the Bitcoin dominance. And that is usually accompanied by just after a spike in Bitcoin dominance. So let's assume that now we're getting the spike in Bitcoin dominance. Usually the Bitcoin dominance drops when the altcoins actually start rallying. So what are the charts telling us? The charts are telling us that Bitcoin is about to pump and the altcoins are about to start rallying. What does that mean? Well, as you know, that means that we know that right now Trump has been the more favorable president when it comes to crypto and Bitcoin. Kamala Harris has tried to be favorable towards crypto. She said she's going to protect black men or make crypto asset class safe for black men to invest in. Some load of garbage. While Donald Trump has actually launched a shitcoin project on ETH. I mean, just like let's weigh out where it is. And so what the charts might actually be telling us right now, and specifically if you believe what I believe, and I didn't used to believe this before, but Sheldon actually convinced me. Sheldon always said to me, show me the charts and I'll tell you when the news is going to drop. And if I look at the charts are telling me that the news is going to drop. And the charts are also telling me that the news should be favorable, right? Here's the Golden Cross. Here's the pump in Bitcoin. The RSI's actually going up. So what the charts are telling me is the charts are telling me that there should be good news for Bitcoin and good news for altcoins coming very, very soon. And that correlates with potentially a Trump victory. And so my thesis is, if you believe in this, in the fact that the charts show you the news, well, then you've probably got to say that the charts are alluding to the same that Poly Markets is alluding to, and that is that Trump may actually be favored to win the election. Now, up until now, as I said, we haven't had the best October in the world, or specifically Bitcoin hasn't had the best October in the world, but we may actually get the catch-up trade. So we may actually get the catch-up trade. I'll tell you one thing, though. One place where we have had an amazing, amazing, amazing October was in Frontrunners, in our Discord group. You can see that 12 out of 13 closed trades have been in the green. One of them was closed with stop loss without being in the green. So that our Frontrunners, which is our Discord group, has had an amazing, amazing time. And guys, I don't know if you watched our show yesterday. What we did yesterday was we actually took members of our Discord and we asked them to send us their portfolios, and we fixed their portfolios live. If you didn't watch that, I honestly think this is one of the most fun shows we've ever done and one of the most informative shows we've ever done. We did it on Banter Plus. So go and actually check it out. These are actually real people, real portfolios, and we actually landed up fixing their portfolios live live on Banter Plus. Now, you see, we literally went one by one through all their portfolios. This is just some of the stuff that we do with our front runners. And if you do want to be part of our front runners, there's a link below. Just join the link below. Try it out for a month. If you don't like it, just back out. So that is what the charts are actually alluding to. And the charts are alluding to the fact that we're going to have a run in altcoins, which is going to start pretty soon. And I must be honest, like, if you think about our best trades of the cycle, obviously our best trade of the cycle has been in altcoins. And I must say, specifically for me, the best trade of the cycle has definitely been my Solana trade. So I still have the Solana trade open. I took the screenshot just before the show. I mean, this is probably my best trade of all times. So you can see that I've got 12,000% profit. My entry price was at $13.57. And today it was just before the show at 177.43. That's a 12,000% return on the leverage that I took. And I think no doubt that Sol and the Sol ecosystem has been the ultimate trade of the cycle. Josh, is the like button broken, or is it just because of the time change that people are a little bit lazy in smashing the likes? Must be broken, right? Don't you want to just smash the like and tell me if it's working?
It is working.
It's Candace Graffiti, have you smashed the like button? Laurie, have you smashed the like button? Andrea Webster, have you smashed the like button, sir? Let's obliterate the like button. Let's tell people that we are actually here. So going back to it, this has been our best trade. I think when you look at Solana, I mean, we have been probably the most vocal channel around Solana this whole cycle, even when it was the unpopular view. You know, we were the ones screaming, buy Solana, buy Solana. We put our money where our mouths were. Today, all our gains, or a lot of our gains, are actually coming from Solana. And to be honest, I kind of feel like Solana has one more huge leg up. In fact, so much so that this weekend, I actually tweeted and I said, look, let's make the assumption that Solana is going to 200. What are the best Solana tokens that you want to hold? I said, look, if Solana explodes in the next 2 weeks, what ecosystem tokens would you want to be holding when this pump actually happens? And that's because I do believe, given all the fundamentals, that Solana is about to have another leg up. And I do think that Solana will be the best performing L1 in the cycle. I think that Solana is the ETH of last cycle. So that's what I think. And you can see all the metrics are showing it, like the Solana's weekly DEX volume dominance over off chain hits 35%. Solana's 15.78 surpassed Ethereum's number. Solana is either exceeding or at all-time highs for TVL, for revenue, for volume, for real economic activity, for developer activity, pretty much for everything. Solana is the one. Solana flips Ethereum in 7-day fees with 25.73 over Ethereum's 23.28. This paints a very, very, very strong picture for Solana and a very, very bad picture for ETH. And the truth is, one of the reasons why I love Solana is because I resonate with this kind of culture. The culture is you're up against the trench warriors. It's a fast-paced war zone. Survival depends on being in and out quickly. Never get too attached to your bags. Like, I think I'm much more a Solana person than traders who tend, like, more conviction, less urgency, slow pace, higher expectations. Like, I think I'm just a Solana degen, probably just like the rest of us, right? And so up until now, I've very, very, very much been around this Solana, on the Solana ecosystems. But the truth is that now I think there may be a trade out of Sol, or not out of Sol, but certainly to be more on ETH. And the thing that made me realize this more than ever was yesterday when we actually did the front runner portfolios, right? So when we did the front runner portfolios last night, where we asked people to send us all their portfolios and we would help them fix all their portfolios. The one thing I noticed about all these portfolios is they all had the same thing in common. And what they had in common was they were all highly, highly, highly leveraged or highly geared to Sol and very low to ETH, right? So look at, so Sol, this guy had 22.5% this and zero ETH in his portfolio. This guy was a dot ETH guy. So like his name is Sujendra.eth. And he had a 25% in Sol and 16% in ETH. David of the World didn't even have ETH in his portfolio. He had 9% SOL. Muno had no ETH, no SOL in his portfolio. So what I could, this guy had 50% SOL and no ETH. And this trend very much, this trend very much continued. And this is what I think the trend is in the market. I think that right now, a lot of people have traded out of SOL, out of ETH, and they've traded into SOL. And that has driven the SOL price up and driven the ETH price down. But I think that that trade now may be a little bit of a crowded trade. And I also think that there may be one last chance for ETH. And I'll show you why I think it's literally one last chance for ETH before either ETH recovers or ETH just lands up dying a slow death over a couple of years. And I want to show you what my thesis is here. So I'm going to start off the thesis by saying, look, ETH is probably pretty much at a low point in terms of sentiment. I mean, I read this and was like, bro, ETH is dragging crypto down at this point. He basically says, look, ETH is so bad that it's actually dragging crypto down at this point. And there's a lot of ETH. There's a lot of ETH hate. Like ETH is up 11.72% year to date with an implied volatility of 66. The S&P 500 is up 22% with an implied volatility of 16. Basically, what they're saying here is he's saying on a risk-adjusted level, it would be mad for you to be holding ETH in your portfolio versus even the S&P 500. If you look at the categories of hate, people are saying in terms of fees, ETH's not generating fees anymore, which is bad. You look at outflows, ETH has the biggest outflows, which is like really bad. So it's not generating fees. Money is flowing out of it. The ETH Foundation keeps selling tokens and Vitalik allegedly keeps selling tokens. And people keep talking about the most hated rally, the most hated rally, the most hated rally. And so ETH is really, really, really at a low point when it comes to sentiment, even maybe unfair low point in terms of unfair sentiment. And I'll show you why some of the criticism against ETH is actually completely unwarranted. So, and I'll show you at the end whether or not I'm buying ETH. And yeah, and I'll show you what I'm buying maybe if I'm not buying ETH, what I'm buying instead of ETH. And so I think where we are at now is we're at a point where ETH is at an absolute, absolute low point. And the contrarian bet is actually to maybe invest in ETH. Maybe. And I'll show you why I say maybe. A lot of people are saying that ETH is dead. It's at the low point. People are complaining about the developers leaving. And if you look at the developer chart over here, this is the developer activity on ETH. You can see that ETH does have the most developers in the ecosystem by a country mile. But they are decreasing, as you can see. You can see that the number of developers are also decreasing. So you've got decreasing fees. You've got net TVL outflow by a big number, and you've got decreasing devs. And that just sounds like a very, very, very bad formula when you're trying to build an ecosystem. But it may not all be what it seems. And this is what I want to show you. So the first thing that I want to show you is that, you know, right now in the United States, there are two tokens where there are ETFs that allow for the real money to actually come into the ecosystem. The first one is Bitcoin, and Bitcoin has had great success. And the second one is ETH. And to be honest, ETH hasn't had that much success. Although, if you look at it on a relative basis, the total value locked in Ethereum relative to the total value locked in Bitcoin ETFs, when you take the total value locked in ETH versus the total value locked in Bitcoin relative to market cap, ETH is not actually that far behind. That's the first thing. The second thing is that next week we have the elections. And this is why I'm saying to you that there may be a perfect storm and the stars may all be aligning for an ETH recovery. But if ETH doesn't recover after this recovery, then it's time to sell your ETH and never, ever, ever look at it again, because then it's going to be a hard, hard, hard landing for ETH. So what is the perfect storm about? Well, as I said, number one, it's the second token in the US that's got an ETF. You have a presidential election next week. Now, remember one thing about the presidential election. If Trump wins, like the charts have said, then not only do investors have the option to invest in either Bitcoin or ETH. And when I say investors, I mean real money investors, not small little crypto money investors. I mean like real money investors in the billions, pension funds, hedge funds, and stuff like that. The inflows the presidential debate may not only affect the inflows into the ETF. If Trump wins, people are going to want to get into crypto because they know that the Democrats have been very, very, very bad on crypto, right? And if Donald Trump wins, like the charts are predicting, then A, they're only going to have two outlets to put money into, Bitcoin or ETH via the ETF. The second thing is that most of the projects that under the Democrat-led SEC have been deemed securities by the SEC will now potentially no longer be security. So things like Rocket Pool, things like Uniswap, things like Lido, and all the projects that are built on ETH may actually get a much better approach, right? They may get a much better approach by the SEC. And so if Trump wins the elections next week, then we may get a slight turn in sentiment with only one outlet, one other outlet other than Bitcoin to actually be developing. Now, the second thing is that next week, or not next week, the week after the election, so from the 12th to the 15th of November in Bangkok, there is the ETH DevCon. And if you think that this is a very small event, I think you should think again, because number one, ETH does still have the most developers in the space by a country mile. You cannot even compare the amount of ETH developers in the space to the number of any other ecosystem, specifically when you take the layer two. So you take ETH plus Base plus Polygon plus Arbitrum plus all the layer twos, and there is no chance that you can compare this to any other ecosystem in the world. So we do have this event. Now, just to give an idea of the scale of this event, 12,000 people are expected to go to Bangkok, including us. 900 volunteers signed up. 300 volunteers have been selected. The venue is twice the size of the venue that they had in Colombia. This thing is going to be huge. This thing is going to be absolutely, absolutely huge, right? So as I was saying, I think that, let me just get some charts up here. So I think that there may actually be a contrarian bet here, specifically around DevCon plus Trump winning the election plus one more thing. And when I say one more thing, I think that a lot of the FUD and the hate that is directed at ETH is actually misguided or misunderstood. And I want to show you what I mean by misguided or misunderstood. The first thing is, what you got to admit is that ETH has the biggest TVL of any chain by far. I mean, even when it comes to stablecoins, ETH still has over 50% of the total stablecoin market cap. And this is reflective of the total liquidity on the chain, which total liquidity means total money available to actually do shit on the chain. Now let's look at total developer addresses, total active addresses for ETH. No doubt you can see that this has been on a decline, and the decline is not actually the good look. And if you think about all, let's look at the three categories where ETH is actually being hit hard. Number one, outflow of devs. Number two, outflow of funds. Number three, decline in transaction revenue. Those are the three places where ETH is actually getting hit. All the haters, if you look at the tweets that are coming from the haters are saying, ETH fees have slipped. ETH fees slipped. ETH money has flowed out. ETH developers are leaving. That is the criticisms. But you've got to ask yourself a question. Where are these developers actually leaving to? Are they going to Solana? No, they're not going to Solana. Where is this money actually leaving to? Here's a clue for you in the charts. You can see that the money flowed out. Where did the money go? Well, some of it did go to Sui, yes, but it went to the layer twos, Base and Arbitrum. They captured the total value that flowed out of ETH actually went into the ETH layer twos. And the same thing with the developers. The total developers that left ETH actually went to the ETH L2s. And then you've got to ask yourself a question. Why is this happening? Well, the reality is that it's actually happening by design. Because the way the ETH protocol is structured is that no one should actually be transacting on the ETH chain except the L2s. You should be using the L2s. ETH is not really built for users like you and I to be transacting on ETH. In fact, the only transactions that should be happening on ETH in ETH vision is the L2s. Because the way ETH is now designed is that ETH is the base layer where a whole lot of layer twos actually get plugged in. And the transactions and the user base should actually be on the layer twos. Now, the way I want you to think about this is, if you are a customer and you want to go into a store and you want to buy a drink, you want to buy a bottle of water. If you walk into a supermarket, you can buy the bottle of water and it's pretty easy, right? If you walk into a big wholesaler, like one of these big, massive wholesalers where you get like these pallets of drinks, and you go to there and you say to the manager, you say, hey man, I just want to buy one bottle of water. He says, bro, I don't deal with retail investors like you where we're doing one transaction, one transaction, one transaction. I deal in people that are in with supermarkets. Now, you got to think as the ETH base chain as the wholesaler and the side chains as the actual supermarkets where you're actually supposed to be transacting. And so what's actually happening is exactly what they intended for ETH to happen by design. They want less gas fees because they don't want a lot of transactions happening on ETH. They want the transactions to be happening on the L2s. They want the developers to leave ETH to go and build on the L2s. And so all of this is actually happening by design. And therefore, all this hate that is sent out to ETH is actually wrong. ETH drops out of total top five protocols by 24 hour fees. Great, because they're all moving to the L2s. And when you look at the L2s, let me show you the growth of the L2s quickly. So how's that? Does that convince you? That's the growth of all the active addresses, but it's the growth of all active addresses on the L2s. Now that starts to paint a much, much, much better chart. And so be careful when you watch and when you read the FUD around ETH. Remember that this is actually created by design. And even to be honest, one of the most successful protocols in ETH, which was Uniswap, which was generating the most fees, Uniswap was generating $1.3 billion of trading fees and settlement fees across five chains, mainly ETH. And they moved to become their own layer 2 chain on Ethereum. Exactly by design. Kraken, Sony, all of these guys, all base, are all layer 2s and are plugging into the main chain. And so we're in a situation now where ETH has been over-fudded. And there could be a perfect storm for ETH. The perfect storm is that we get a presidential win by Trump. The presidential win by Trump drives money into crypto, and it's either going to be Bitcoin or ETH, and the majority of investors are going to be exactly like you and I when we got into crypto. We came to crypto, we saw Bitcoin. Bitcoin was too expensive and it ran too much. So we looked for the second token without actually knowing what the second token was. And what did we do? We went for ETH. And if you came here later in the cycle, you saw Bitcoin and ETH and you said, I'm going to buy Sol because Sol is the next up and coming and maybe you were lucky, right? And so what I'm seeing is, I'm seeing this perfect storm of a whole lot of normies coming into crypto and after an election win and saying, where am I going to put my money? And they're going to put their money into either Bitcoin or ETH. And so look, to be honest, when I look at this thumbnail, it's a bit misleading because I'm not actually buying ETH. But I do think that in a responsible portfolio, you may want to start taking a chance in some of the ETH narratives. And I want to break down for you exactly what my ETH narrative sounds like. Now, look, I'm trying hard to bring you a lot of information here. And you may have to watch the show again to actually grasp all the information because there's a lot of alpha in the show. But let me try and break it down for you. So, as I said to you, my thesis around ETH is that ETH is this base layer that no one should hold and no one should touch. But that doesn't take away from all the amazing things being built on the layer 2 stack. And specifically, the most successful layer 2 on ETH is by far, Base, right? If you look at Base is the dominant layer 2 in terms of activity, in terms of user experience, and in terms of the ability to onboard users onto ETH layer 2. There's no one that beats Coinbase. They have over 100 million accounts, and they're probably the smartest people in the world. I mean, I liked this tweet over here from Dan. There was a tweet here which I read. Let me just see if I've got the tweet for you guys. Most markets don't understand just how innovative the Coinbase team is, and they are the ones that actually built Base. They took out one of their devs and they let him build Base, and so Base has become the ultimate for me, the ultimate Coinbase thesis. So my thesis around ETH is actually my thesis around Base. And all the rest is kind of incidental. And so if I wanted to get exposure to this event of potentially an ETH turnaround, this is what I would be doing, right? And again, given that get my thesis on ETH is actually my thesis on Base. So the first thing that I would do is I'd actually go and buy Coinbase. Simple as that. What I'd do, I'd go and I'd buy Coinbase. Why? Because not only are you taking a bet on the entire crypto industry, but they are also the major custodians of the value that is captured by all of these transactions. And when you look at all the stats and all the data and all the stats are showing us that Base is the reason why ETH is succeeding. And Base generates a whole lot in fees. Mad number of fees. If you look at the number of fees, just look at the total revenue from 11.7 all the way to 24.3 million. So the amount of fees that's actually $20 million worth of profits coming out of Base. So if you believe in the Base narrative, then as usual with our channel, you want to hold the biggest DEX on the platform. And the biggest DEX on Base is actually Aerodrome. Now, we've been calling Aerodrome since like 30 cents, but still, I still think that this is a good bet, because if you look at the numbers that are starting to come out of Aerodrome, just look at the amount of transaction volume that Aerodrome is capturing relative to all the other decentralized exchanges on Base. And as Coinbase keeps growing, and Coinbase, you could pretty much say, is crypto in the United States, the route for them to get onto chain will be through Base. And the trading on Base is done through Aerodrome. So the first two that I'd have in my portfolio if I wanted the exposure, Coinbase and Aerodrome. Okay. Then you got to remember that Aerodrome is actually built using the Optimism stack. So Optimism is a layer two. And the tech stack that Base is built using is it's built using the Optimism stack. And so that's why my third pick would actually be to take some Optimism. Remember, with every transaction that actually happens on Base, Optimism actually gets a fee, right? Now, what is Optimism actually trying to do? Optimism is building this superchain. Okay, now, what is the superchain network? It's all the chains that use the Optimism stack can all talk to one another and in a completely simple ecosystem. Now, if that happens, then who's the biggest custodian of that? Well, the biggest custodian of that would obviously be the base layer, which is Optimism. But then the DEX on Optimism would be the biggest beneficiary of all of this. Now, the DEX on Optimism is Velodrome. And by the way, Aerodrome is a fork of Velodrome. And if you look at the fully diluted valuation, it's $154 million. So I would have coin, again, ETH thesis, ETH is Base. Or the best play on ETH is Base. Can't invest in Base. So I'm going to invest in Coinbase. I'm going to invest in the biggest stack. I'm going to invest in the technology that Base is built on. And then I'm going to invest in the biggest, or in one of the DEXs or the DEX in this ecosystem. Cool. So that is the Base thesis around Coinbase. But then I'd also invest in two or three other ETH native picks. So the first one is Lido. Lido is by far the biggest staking protocol on ETH. In fact, I mean, just look at how big the staking protocol is. If you look at Lido's annualized fees, the annualized fees on Lido are like absolutely, absolutely insane. And the PE ratio is the price to fully diluted price to fees ratio is 1.24, which means that right now, the price of Lido is 1.24 its fees ratio. It means that like that's like it's so cheap. It's so cheap. So if ETH turns, chances are Lido actually turns. Now, if you look at the chart of Lido, this chart pretty much paints you the picture of how bad sentiment is to ETH. So like that is the Lido chart. And that is probably the ETH sentiment chart over the last couple of days. But if that turns, and when I say to you, if that turns, like just let's just draw a trend line from here, roughly all the way down here. And we say, okay, if this somehow breaks out above the 112, which is not like it's 10 cents away, this thing has a lot of ground to cover to potentially go back up if it actually catches. So the next pick that I'd actually put is Lido. Then I'd go into ENS. And the reason why I'd go into ENS is because this is one of the most fundamental protocols in the ETH ecosystem. It's the naming protocol. uni.eth, base.eth, run.eth, joss.eth, etc., etc. Now, the reason why this is such a good protocol is not only do you own the domain, and I think in future we'll all be holding a dot something domain, but this is also your wallet. So imagine like a business which is cryptobanter.eth, and we want to accept money into our ETH wallet. You just send it to cryptobanter.eth, and you just connect your wallet to cryptobanter.eth, and it's amazing. This also becomes the identity layer for the new internet, if the new internet is actually built on ETH. So I would be holding ENS. Vitalik's also a big fan of ENS. Just to give you an idea, 3 million .ETH names, 18 million subnames, 2 million, 750 integration, including into GoDaddy, 100 million plus in treasury, $30 million in annual revenue. So this is a very, very, very good protocol. And to be honest, one of the positions that I actually took. Then, of course, I mean, you know that if the chain runs, the memes are going to run. There you can take your pick. You can go Pepe, Mog. You can even go Klaus if you want to go on a very small meme. And then there is a protocol which is, I think, a little bit misunderstood. And the protocol that I think is a little bit misunderstood is EtherVista. And the reason why I say that EtherVista is misunderstood is because everyone thought that they were investing in a pump.fun on ETH, but the pump.fun on ETH wasn't actually built. And so right now, on a $10 million fully diluted valuation, you can actually pick up EtherVista tokens and you can invest in the pump.fun of ETH, which is actually EtherVista. And that is, it's just launched. So let's actually quickly go and have a look and see if we can actually get onto it. EtherVista.app. Okay, I don't have a wallet that I can connect to here, but you can actually go and launch on EtherVista now, which, let me just quickly cancel that. Yeah, okay, so let me close that. Okay, hold on a second. I've lost you guys. Okay, so EtherVista would be the place. So again, let's just recap. It's crunch time for ETH. Either now we get a Trump presidency and they deliver, they start, you know, we get a big DEFCON and we get renewed interest in ETH. Or ETH just basically carries on going down and down and down while the world becomes a monolithic world. And in that case, I think Solana win. But I think it's prudent in your portfolio to have some bets across ETH layer twos, ETH narrative, specifically if you think that the contrarian bet is the bet that actually outperforms and the Solana bet may be slightly overcrowded. And if you're going to do that, my picks for this are Coinbase, because that gives you exposure to ETH, crypto, sequencer fees on base. Aerodrome, because it's the biggest DEX on base. Optimism, because it's the stack that it's built on. Velodrome, because that's the other exchange on this Optimism superchain ecosystem. Two vanilla ETH bets in Lido and ENS. And then, of course, meme coins, Pepe, Mog. And then you should probably buy the ETH machine, which is EtherVista, which is the pump.fun equivalent on ETH. Now, big question. Am I now rotating out of my Solana back into ETH? So the truth is a tiny little bit. And the reason why I'm doing it is because I don't want to miss out on this trade if this trade actually does happen. If this trade happens, it's going to happen fast. And it's going to happen pretty aggressively, specifically if Trump wins the elections and all this money actually needs an outlet. And there's only one of two outlets, which you could pretty much say that the one is maybe slightly overcrowded when it comes to the Wall Street trade. So listen, I hope you've enjoyed the alpha. I'm trying to do a lot more in-depth research. The reason why I haven't done it up until now is because a lot of viewers just wanted like just the calls and the calls and the calls. But now I'm actually digging much, much, much deeper into the research. Let me know if you like the new format. Also, if you do like ETH, start using EtherMail. And the reason why I say start using EtherMail, because this is how we're going to be doing email. Like in the new world, mails are going to be directly not to your email address, but actually to your wallet, right? And if you use EtherMail is like the new type of mail, and it's linked directly to your ETH wallet address. And people can actually send you mails to your ETH wallet address. Now, when you click on the mails, you actually get money to actually read them. So if you open a mail, you actually get tokens to actually read these mails. So you should maybe download it. There is a link below. I'll show you actually where the link below is. It's here. Oh, no, it's not here. It's in the other one. Let me quickly get it first. This Joe Rogan Experience, if you haven't watched the Trump Joe Rogan Experience, I think it's one of the best pieces of content that Joe Rogan's made, that's for sure. Let's have a look here. So let's quickly go to the show. So you can see this, there's a couple of pretty important links. One is if you want to join Frontrunners and test that 1 month free, go here. If you want to win a Bitcoin, if you just go here, into the win a Bitcoin, you've got to have an exchange account. But if you do, and you are the closest person on the 1st of January, then you actually win a Bitcoin. That link is also over here. And then the Ethermel one is here. So use the Ethermel link here. Click on that Ethermel link. Sign up using the Ethermel link. And then you can actually get paid to read emails and also learn how to use email on the actual blockchain. Listen, I hope you enjoyed today. I really loved doing the deep dive. I will see you guys again tomorrow with another massive show. Until then, trade well, my friends.